We'll spring into the April 18th, 2008 rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to another edition of the Rain Report, available as a download and podcast on demand from therainreport.com. I'm Dwayne Whittingham, N9SSN. At long last, the Dayton Hamvention has named its award winners for 2008. According to the Hamvention.org announcement, this year's Hamvention Amateur of the Year is Ward Silver N0AX, whose Ham Radio for Dummies helped many realize that becoming a ham does not have to be a difficult challenge. His other books, teaching materials, and magazine articles have helped many become more proficient in the amateur radio skills and knowledge. Rain's founder-producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, caught up with Ward. Ward learned about ham radio quite by accident.
I got involved when I read QST in the library in St. Louis, probably in the mid-60s. I was just looking for something to read and wandering around the magazine racks, and here was this magazine about electronics and amateur radio. I had no idea it existed, and took me a few years to get licensed. A friend of mine finally took me under his wing, Bill N0DYV Delta Yankee Victor, who's now KJ7 Papa Charlie. Got me the code, got me licensed in 72. First thing I got involved with was contesting with the high school club, WA0WBJ, and we used to go over to his house and operate because he had the two-element quad at 35 feet, which was a big deal to the high school guys, and we used to operate until his mom threw us out of his bedroom.
So you were involved in contesting for a number of years then. How is it that you got from being a contester to writing about contesters and contesting?
I started doing the contest with the group and was always interested in the science and things like that in high school, and that helped me make a decision to study electrical engineering at the University of Missouri at Rolla. So I spent 20 years in basic product development and consulting, field engineering, that sort of stuff. And as part of that job, wound up writing a lot of reports, manuals, and test procedures, and all that sort of stuff, and found out that I had kind of a knack for writing, and people helped me get a little better and edit here and there. And finally, I started teaching a little bit at Seattle University on the side, and one thing led to another, and I wound up writing a couple of articles for QST, doing some quizzes for DX Magazine, a couple of book reviews, and you just start doing it a little bit more and a little bit more, and you get some feedback from your readers and editors, and eventually you either give up or learn how to do it right. I guess I'm still on the path to learning how to do it right and appreciate all the feedback and guidance I get from the people that read my stuff. And if you like doing it, people are certainly anxious to get instruction.
So you had no real formal education in writing. You just started writing and found that you had a certain knack for it.
That's it. The only place I really studied writing was in high school. High school history teacher Roland Klein finally convinced me that it was important, if you were going to convince anybody of what you had to say, that you had to be able to write coherently. I certainly could barely do that in high school, but he implanted the seed in my head, and it took a long time to grow, but here we are.
Chronologically, when is it that you began to teach at Seattle University?
1985 was the first year I taught a couple of the lab courses, and I taught off and on there for a few years, then took a break, and then went back and did it quite a bit between 2000 and 2004. Wound up full-time for a semester, filling in when they were doing a faculty search.
You mentioned you began to write the hands-on radio column for QST in 2002. How did that come about, and what led up to that?
I had been writing quizzes for QST since about 1997. Just multiple-choice quizzes, the occasional crossword puzzle, what have you. Mark Wilson, K1RO, who's the publisher of QST at that point, and I felt that had run its course and wanted to try something different. I had just finished writing some lab experiments and manuals for Seattle University, and I suggested that we repurpose some of that stuff for amateur radio, and why don't we give it a try to see if people would be interested in a short experiment-type column once a month. And he and I rattled that around for a while and decided to give it a try for a few months and see what the reaction was. The reaction was good, and so we just kept doing it, and there's no shortage of topics to write about. It's just hard to get it in 2 pages.
You mentioned you write for The X Magazine, is that right?
The X Magazine, run by Carl Smith, N4 Alpha Alpha, comes out bimonthly, and I do a short quiz for them. I've done that since 1995.
Interesting. You got involved in writing quizzes. That's a particular style, a particular niche. How is it that you got into that genre of writing?
I did a quiz for the Western Washington DX Club Christmas party 1 year just for a lark, and afterwards I sent it to Chad Harris, VP2ML, who owned the DX magazine at the time, and he thought that was fun, and he ran it and got good enough reader feedback. He asked me to write some more, and so I just started doing one every couple of months. You never think about where it's going to go. It just snowballed, and now I've done almost 200 for them over the years, did a bunch for QST, and it's kind of fun. And if you're in a boring meeting, you can make up quizzes as you go, and then people think you're taking notes.
I'm speaking today with Ward Silver, N0AX, the Amateur of the Year Award winner, as awarded by DARA, the Dayton Amateur Radio Association, and the Dayton Hamvention. We'll be right back. This is the Rain Report. Give me an example of what a quiz might read like.
Say 10 multiple choice questions and a bonus. I would write one, say, on geography is a popular one for DX Magazine. For example, islands. You can ask questions like, name 3 islands that have 2 DXCC entities on the island. And the answer would be something like French St. Martin and St. Bartholomew, the Patagonia island with Argentina and Chile, but the idea is to come up with things that make people think about some part of the hobby, and they don't have to be particularly hard, but it's fun to think up questions.
And they're all multiple choice or no true-false questions?
Pretty much. Sometimes I'll run true-false. It's a format. It's just easy to produce these things. It's sort of like the licensing exams. So there's no essay questions.
You have been instrumental in rewriting the technician and general manuals for the ARRL. Is that correct?
That's correct. I've done all 3 of the manuals now.
What is different about the manuals that are currently available and being published versus previous ones?
Previously, the manuals were organized to follow the pool sub-element by sub-element. And I felt that was a hard way to learn the material because the sub-elements aren't arranged in a logical progression for teaching. There's just 10 different sub-elements, and this one's about this, and that one's about that, however it falls. And so the student would confront rules and regulations the very first thing. That's usually sub-element 1, I believe, on all 3 exams. And that was kind of a daunting way to get started because the students didn't really have much of a context into which to put the rules and regulations. So I thought, let's step back and let's think about who the student is. And most of the students now are self-taught, not instructor-taught. And so the material has to be laid out as an educational process by which the student can take one step after another and build on the material. So I rewrote it with that in mind. I built a lot on what was already there. The previous editors had done a very good job of preparing the material. It was just organized in a way that made it difficult for a self-taught student. So I rewrote it for a slightly different style. I just have a different style than the previous editors. Hopefully it's easier for students to pick up and they'll retain it better, since it's more of a natural progression.
So the rewrite of the manuals wasn't so much rewriting as much as reorganizing the material so that there's some rhyme or reason to it all.
The rhyme or reason was important. The questions in the question pool aren't laid out in an order that forms a natural progression. You may find question one is using terms and concepts that aren't mentioned in an introductory way until question number 10. They're chosen at random, so there's no real order to the question pool other than that they correspond to the theme of the sub-element. So if you just organize the manuals in order of sub-elements and questions, it's not easy to understand. It's more of a memorization kind of a process. So I wanted to make it more of a reference that the student could not only just learn the material for the exam, but also use it as an introductory reference book, too. The technician manual was released early April 2006. The general was a year after that, 2007, and the extra class will be released here in 2008. Because the question pools turned over in July of 2006 for technician, July of 2007 for general, and July of 2008 for extra. Then there's a year off, and then the question pools reorganize themselves and are updated on a four-year cycle. And that's another reason why the books have to be rewritten is because the question pools are updated every 4 years also.
So for those who are looking to either get into amateur radio or to upgrade, then the technician license manual for 2006, the general for 2007, and the extra for 2008 are the manuals that you really want to study from.
The student should be sure that when they purchase a manual or one of the question and answer guides, that it's current, and that's printed usually on the front cover of the manual. It says this manual is good for exams on or after the following date, and then you won't get an obsolete manual that way.
You've just heard part one of Hap Holly, KC9RP's interview with ham radio writer Ward Silver, N0AX, the Dayton Hamvention's 2008 Amateur of the Year Award winner. We'll learn more about Ward and hear his thoughts on the challenges facing the service next time. The Rain Report is copyright 1990 through 2008 Rain, all rights reserved. Now for Rain's founder-producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Dwayne Whittingham, N9SSN, bidding you a very 73 from all of us at RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.